Yes, Father, we pray that you would prepare all of our hearts.
Amen.
Thank you for all your speaking this weekend in this conference.
Amen.
Do give us a heart that is so soft to receive your word.
Amen.
That as you speak to us, we will not harden our hearts.
Amen.
Take away any darkness that is still remaining in our hearts.
Amen.
Oh Lord, we pray for your word to be living and powerful.
Amen.
To effect change in all of our lives.
Amen.
Because Lord, we desire to be prepared by you.
Amen.
To prepare for your soon return.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah, well, we thank the Lord for this wonderful conference. I appreciate all the fellowship that has been spoken so far in the meetings. It's been very practical. And, you know, I think in the first meeting it was very good, where the Lord really set the tone. He is coming back quickly. And when he comes back quickly, he has the desire. And it is his heart that we as his children would grow and mature to become kings and priests, to reign together with him on this earth in this coming millennial kingdom age. My, what a wonderful plan that God has for us. And we can see his great love for all of us. Well, it's good to see the proper perspective. What is God's love? Number one, it has to be in his light. There has to be righteousness. No darkness. The love without light will corrupt and will spoil. Yet at the same time, God is also life. And as we heard last night, there's no way for us to teach one another love, because love is inherent in God's life. And this love only comes from God's life. And so if we do not partake of this life and we are dead, then for sure there is no love of God manifested in all of us. And to see how much God loved us, this whole universe, everything that has been prepared by God demonstrates his love for us. So, on our part, what do we need to do? And it was good, very practical last night. The love within us must grow. It comes through being diligent to add to our faith. Right? So many wonderful virtues that need to be added. There's the virtue. There's the knowledge. Not the teachings, but the real experience of knowing the Lord in such a practical way. There's the self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly love, and the love of God. But this doesn't just happen automatic. It requires us all to be diligent, to exercise, to practice day by day. And this brings us to this morning's word regarding God the Father's love for his children. Maybe we can, let's all turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, and let's read verses 5 through 11 together. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 through 11. Okay? And
speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord. God is encouraged when you are renewed by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and scourges every son whom he receives.
Amen.
If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom the father does not chasten? Chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had a few fathers who were like us, and we made
Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, when we speak about God's ultimate goal, is this mic working or not? Okay, you guys can hear me, right? All right, because all of a sudden I heard my voice just drop off. So when you consider God's plan for all of us, it's not working? Is it? Yeah. Is it? Right? No.
What? That's weird.
It is on, just normal.
Yeah, but they said they can't hear in the back. All right. So, God's desire is for all of us to become kings and priests. And how do you think that can be made possible? I mean, if you consider today, how many of us became instantly qualified to do your professions on the job? Right? Leo, for you to do what you're doing, instantly, were you qualified from day one?
Nope.
No. How much training did you have to go through?
Lots of years.
How many years of school?
I actually didn't go to school for what I do now.
Well, for most of us, if you count kindergarten through high school, that's already 13 years of education, right? You did at least that much, right, Leo?
Yes, I did.
Okay, good. That's good to hear. Right? And I think many of us have at least gone through a four-year college, right? So that now takes you to how many years? 17 years. 17 years just for your degree or your certification to do the jobs that you want to do, right? So for us to be trained to become kings and priests, to rule with Christ in the coming millennial kingdom age, do you think you can just become a king and a priest like that without any preparation? Right. I think this is why this concept of becoming kings and priests, if we see this goal, then we should realize that we need to train. We need to be prepared. Right? If you want to go for the gold, not only do you need to train, what else do you need? Sorry?
Compete.
A what?
You have to compete.
Well, yes, you need to compete. But in your preparation for your competition, who's there helping you compete? Your coach. Your trainer. Right? Some of you are learning piano, right? Now, did you just... Are you just taking piano by yourself, just learning it automatically by yourself? No. You have teachers, you have coaches to train you in this way. And does your teacher just say, good job, Leo, good job in playing guitar?
You have homework.
You have homework. And if you mess up, what are they going to say to you?
They correct me.
Ah, they correct you. They discipline you, right? How many of us likes to be chastened or disciplined by our fathers? Paul, do you like to be disciplined by your father? No. Really? No. I think all of us within our hearts, from as young as you can be, there's this sense of defiance or rebellion in our heart. We don't want to be corrected. We don't want to be trained. We don't want to be disciplined by our parents, right? But here when we read Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5, it says, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord. Not be discouraged when you are rebuked by him.
Amen.
Paul, does your dad love you?
Yes.
Yes? And how do you know he loves you?
Because he takes care of me.
And?
He collects me.
Ah. Very good. because he corrects you, right? Any parent who loves their children will always, always correct them, discipline them, and chasten them. This is exactly what the Lord says here. And as the children, we should not despise the chastening of the Lord. Don't despise the disciplining, the chastening by our parents. Right? Because it says in verse 6, whom the Lord loves, he chastens. And Paul, I'm glad you recognized your father's love, not just because he's giving you food to eat, and nice place, nice clothes, and all the things that you need for human living, but because he corrects you, he chastens you. This is a clear sign that our parents love us, because they are willing to not just to love you, but to correct us so that we would grow up in a proper way. Right? Right? And if you, it says, and if you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? And if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Right. So the word is very clear. But I hope it's not just a knowledge to us, but this becomes our experience and our reality in our daily living. To be willing to be chastened, to be disciplined by the Lord. Right? If you're going to go for gold, do you want an easy coach, Leo?
No, I want the gold.
You want the gold. So you want the best coach.
Yeah.
Probably the coach that drills you the hardest.
Yeah, makes me work.
Makes you work. Trains you and is willing to correct you, even when it was just one little thing, and he corrects you, right? Sarah, what was the one thing the coach always reminded you when you were training to swim? Kick. Because if she doesn't kick, she can't swim fast. And I'm on the deck and I listen to the coach going, kick, Sarah, kick, because she's not kicking. And how many times did she remind you? All the time. And it wasn't until you got to college that, I should kick. And then you swam faster, right? Many years later. Do you want to make it as kings and priests? Then are we willing to receive the Father's chastening? Right? You know, considering when we talk about love, it's very interesting in how the Lord loves. If we go back to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. Verse 21. Right? The Lord is speaking to the disciples. From that time Jesus began to show to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed. And be raised the third day. Marvelous message that the Lord has given to him, that he must go to be killed and then to be raised. What a wonderful vision of what the Lord was going to do in those days. And how did Peter respond? Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord. This shall not happen to you." Isn't that the right thing Peter should say? Right?
Sounds good.
Sounds good. Sounds very good. But how did the Lord respond to him? But he turned and he said to Peter, what? Get behind me, Satan. Wow. That's a pretty strong word. I thought the Lord loves Peter. Why is he saying, get behind me, Satan? Isn't that too harsh? Nehemiah, if you did something wrong and OC... Yeah, you'll get mad first. Anyone would get mad. Right? But the Lord went on. You are an offense to me. OC says to you, you're an offense to me. And you're not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. Right? I think if I were in Peter's shoes, either I would, like you said, quit. Because, okay, I'm a failure. I'm going to quit. Or I'm going to get really defensive. But Lord, don't you know I'm trying to protect you? Don't you see? I don't want you to get hurt. I don't want you to suffer. Right? But this was the Lord's chastening, his rebuke. Right? Of course, he's speaking about Satan, who is behind that thought. But it was also a wake-up call for Peter to realize, right? Are we mindful of the things of men, or are we mindful of the things of God? Right? This is one example that I thought was very interesting. And then you go on to Matthew chapter 19. And this is when the Lord was speaking to this rich young man. And this rich young man, you know, he was talking with the Lord and he said, you know, that he's kept all of his commandments. And yet the rich young man still asked one more question. The young man said to him, verse 20, all these things I have kept from my youth. What do I still lack? And then the Lord continued. Jesus said to him, if you want to be perfect, go. Sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me. And how did the young man respond? But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And then what did the Lord do after that? After he had spoken a very simple word to answer this young man's question, what am I still lacking? And the Lord gave him one command to sell all. And what did Jesus do? Then Jesus said to his disciples, assuredly I say to you, that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. But that's all he did. He spoke about it. Did Jesus go after this young man to try and bring him back? Well, Lord, your love, your chastening is too hard. Maybe just ask him to sell 25% of it the first year. And then another 25% the next year. And then another 25% 3 years later. And after 4 years, okay, you sell everything. Did the Lord go back? Did the Lord try to pull him back?
Wasn't written.
So that means he didn't. Is that love? Is that the love of God? He didn't care about this rich young man. He just let him go. What kind of love is this? This is also the love of the Lord. We ask the Lord, Lord, what are we short in? And he tells us. And we're not willing to do it. Is the Lord going to come back and say, oh, you know what? It's okay. You don't need to do all of that. Just do a little bit here. Do a little bit there. Right? And then when you get to Revelation chapter 2 and 3, this is the final discipline, you could say, that the Lord was giving to the churches, the seven churches. And here was Ephesus. Was Ephesus a bad church? In chapter 2. Was Ephesus a bad church? Right? It says, I know your works, your labor, your patience, and you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say that they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. and you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my namesake and have become and not become weary. Does that sound like a good church, Leo?
Pretty good.
Not bad. But the Lord still had one more thing against that church. Nevertheless, I say this against you, that you have left your first love. Now, Leo, you've been doing all of this wonderful work in the church. And all of a sudden, the Lord tells you, you have left your best love. Now, how would you respond?
Have mercy on me,
Lord. Okay, good. Praise the Lord. Have mercy on us. But how many of us have ever done, we do so much for the saints, we do so much for the church, and then a word of discipline comes in. And what is our reaction?
Defensive.
We get defensive. Or as George would say, fine, I'm not going to do it anymore. That's our two reactions. We get defensive or we quit. Right? But this is what the Lord is doing. He's chasing us. Right? In chapter 2, the Lord even tells the churches what he hates. The works and the deeds of the Nicolaitans, the clergy-laity system, the hierarchy of pastors and archbishops and the Pope. The Lord hates all that. And what is our response to it? Oh, God is not loving. He hates the church. He says he doesn't like this. He doesn't like this pastoral system type of thing. God must not love us. What kind of concept do we have regarding God's love? God, our Father, loves his church more than we can ever imagine. And when he's telling us what's on his heart, that this is what he hates, what is our response? God must not be loving. God's too hard. Is that our attitude? Right? But this is the Father's discipline. And when you get to Laodicea, he even tells us in Laodicea, what does he say? You are lukewarm. You're neither hot nor cold, and I will vomit you out of your mouth, my mouth. And what's the response, right? So if we're being told, oh, we're lukewarm, we're just kind of, you know, neither here nor there, we come to the meetings. What is our response? Do we say, oh, I'm rich, I have become wealthy, I have no need of nothing, I don't know. And you don't even realize that you're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked, right? The famous last words we all like to say is, I know. Right? I know. Right? What is our attitude? Right? This is the Father's love for the church. His desire to raise us up, to grow into maturity, to become kings and priests. Right? So another aspect of God's love, for sure, is the Father's love for the children. Because in his heart, he wants us to grow. He wants us to mature. Right? And then, even Paul, when you read through the Timothys, I love what I always am encouraged to read through the Timothys, because you see Paul's love for Timothy as his son, right? I know in the outline, the verse there was wrong. It should be 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 2. Just this simple verse. Timothy, a true son in the faith. Right? So Paul really cared for this young apostle, Timothy, as a son. And when you read through all of the Timothys, you see instruction, exhortations, that this young apostle would grow up in the way of the Lord to be for his kingdom. to be for his purpose. And not all of it is, you know, some of it's quite strong. Do not despise your youth. Flee youthful lusts. Pursue righteousness. So, when it comes to the Father's love, it's really the matter of speaking the truth in love. As a father, it's not just about being friends with my two daughters. I'm not there just to be a good friend or a good buddy to do things with. I'm a father that I desire that my daughters grow up to be proper human beings, to be productive in this community. Not only to take care of themselves, but to take care of those who are around them. But also, a greater purpose is that my daughters would grow up to love the Lord and to love His kingdom and to become first fruits. This is the Father's love for the children. And I hope as parents, we would have such a view for our children. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, I always get reminded of this, whether within or without. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. God has given us our children. They are gifts to us. And what are we doing in raising up our children? Malachi says that God would desire godly offspring. Not just good children, but godly offspring. To raise them up in the way of the Lord. But you can't do that if you're going to coddle your child. You spoil your child by not disciplining them. Your child will be spoiled and ruined. I've seen this too many times. And I have some parents who've come up to me and asked me this question. My kid doesn't listen to me. Why? Well, I'm trying to be their friends. Friends? No. You're their father. And if they go out of line, you need to discipline them. Why? Because you want your child to grow up in a normal way. To be a proper person. In the same way, raising our children up. To love the Lord. His purpose, His kingdom, His church. Right? May we as parents become examples in raising our children and to train and to admonish with the Lord. But of course, on the children's side, how about us as kids? Okay, I'm in this unique position. I'm both a parent and in some ways I'm still a child. What is our attitude in receiving the chastening? Right. If you read the verses a little earlier in Ephesians, it says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, without promise. With promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth." There is a real blessing if we learn to obey our parents. Right? Why is this important? Because if we don't learn to obey our parents whom we see day in and day out, how will we obey God who is invisible that we don't see? Just like in 1 John. You say you love the Lord, but you don't love your brother. You say, I want to obey God, but I'm not going to listen to my parents. Where is our love for our parents? Right? You know, I'm reminded of how God dealt with Cain and Abel, right? If you go back to Genesis chapter 4, and here, you know, Cain and Abel were offering, bringing offerings to the Lord, to God at that time. And in verse 5, it says, "But he, God, did not respect Cain for his offering, and Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, 'Why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it.'" But then what did Cain do? "Now Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him." Killed him. As children, what is our attitude in our hearts when we receive the discipline by our parents? Do we harden our hearts like Cain? Right? Cain hardened his heart. He was angry. And through that, it resulted in him killing his brother. Right? Today, the Lord is correcting us. As we get closer and closer to the goal, the Lord, the captain of our salvation, is giving us more refined direction in how to reach the goal. And are we going to be like Cain, who just, "Oh, Father, what's wrong? I've been worshiping you this way for 25 years. And now you're talking about the priesthood? What's wrong with what I've been doing for the last 25 years? And now you're telling me the priesthood? No, I don't want the priesthood." And in that process, you kill off all the brothers. Right? What is our attitude when we receive correction? It's the same thing with the rich young man. He was asking the Lord, "What else do I need to do?" And the Lord told him what he needs to do. But the hardness of the heart, he did not turn. He did not repent. Why? Because as 2 Timothy would say, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2, it says, "For men will be lovers of themselves." And that's all I need to say. We live in an age where everyone is about loving themselves. Everyone loves themselves. No one can take any course, any kind of correction. Everyone becomes defensive. Everyone will say, as George would say, "I quit. I want to change my job. I want to get out of this situation. I quit." Or defensive. Become very defensive. "Don't you know? Why can't you help? Don't you see what I'm doing? What's wrong with what I'm doing? It's Stephen's fault. It's not my fault. It's my team's fault. It's not my fault." Right? "It's the brother's fault, not my fault." What is our attitude when it comes to receiving the chastening of the Father? Right? And I very much appreciate David as our example. Right? In 2 Samuel, David committed a great sin. And Nathan corrected him. And how did David respond? They say no. And he rejected with the hardness of heart. No. There was a real repentance in David. And through that repentance, Psalm 51 was written. Right? And if we read Psalm 51, you can read this in your own time. You could see the heart of repentance. A broken and a contrite heart. willing to be corrected. Even as a king, he was corrected. Right? Brothers and sisters, we are in the final days. We all want to reach the goal. And God our Father wants to perfect us and correct us. The question for all of us is our heart willing to be coachable, to be trainable, to be transformed, or to be conformed into His image? Right? I am thankful for the brothers, you know. Yes, my parents have passed away, but I'm also still very, very thankful for all my parents in the church. You might not believe it, but I get corrected much more often than you can imagine. Okay. And I'm thankful for it. Because if I don't get that correction, who's going to tell me? And how will I be perfected? Right? And of course, now that my children are adult children, every now and then they also tell Daddy, you know, what you just said there, what you did there wasn't good either. And what do I do? No, I'm the dad. No. I'm thankful for all the corrections that I receive. To take it to the Lord and bring it back to the Lord. Lord, if this is what still I'm short in, then I want to repent, turn back to you, and deal with this and change this in me. Right? May we have a real heart of repentance in this way, to receive the training, right? Why? What is the goal? This is wonderful. In Colossians chapter 1, Colossians chapter 1, verse 28, Paul says, "Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus." All the discipline by God our Father, whether it's through Him directly or through the saints, through the brothers, remember, the warnings, the chastening, is so that we can be what? Made perfect in Christ Jesus. Not only within ourselves, that we would be perfected, but then we would also be able to have the proper houses, the homes. Right? Paul tells Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5, it says, "For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God?" So the perfecting, the corrections, it's so that not only are we perfected to be perfect in Christ, but even in our caring for our household, which then ultimately results in the care for the church. But don't lose sight of the real goal, kings and priests. God desires us to reign together with Him on earth with Christ for the next 1,000 years, the millennial kingdom age. Right? And this is really what the Father wants. That's why in Hebrews it ends with this, For they indeed for a few days chastening us as seemed best to them, but for our profit, that we may be partakers of His holiness. And no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Right? So don't despise the corrections. Appreciate it. Bring it to the Lord. And then say, "Lord, I want to work together with you to effect change in me, in the family and in the church, so that we can be prepared for the coming kingdom age." Right? Yes, it's a short time. It could be very fast in the next year or two. But it's a short time. If we're willing to endure, willing to receive this love from the Father in this kind of a way, then we will be qualified to receive this crown of righteousness. So thank the Father for his love, for his love for his children. And may we as his children receive and listen and obey our Heavenly Father. Amen.
Yeah, we thank you for your chastening.
Amen. Amen.
Yes.
We do confess to you this morning, we all need chastening.
Yes. Amen.
Not only the young children, but the older ones.
Right.
Amen.
Even the oldest ones.
Yes. Amen.
Yes.
We need your perfecting work within all of us.
Amen.
Amen.
Especially through your chastening, you will add yourself into our
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, we need your life, the eternal life that is within us.
Yeah. Amen.
To change us.
Yes.
Not just the outward chastening, but...
Yeah.
Oh, okay. It's okay, but the Lord heard me. That's my prayer to him.
Amen.
But maybe I can share just a couple of sentences. There's a very big difference between chastening and punishment. You know, many parents sometimes chasten their children because they're angry.
Yeah.
Right? We are all parents, those who have children. Right? When you see your children doing something wrong, you're mad. Right? And your parents will say, oh, daddy is mad. Right? No? What do the children say? So you're afraid of your daddy. Papa's mad. Then we punish them. Punishment is not chastening. Chastening is with love. Right. And the goal of the chastening is that they will repent and turn and learn something precious and will affect their character and their life. This is chastening. If you're angry, don't do anything to your children. You wait until you calm down. So you learn yourself. As the parents, don't chasten. You cannot chasten. Don't punish because you're angry. It won't work. It causes an adverse reaction many times. But chastening in Hebrews chapter 12, it is because the Father loves us. There's a very, very big difference. And the children know. They can feel it. Is it because you love them or you're mad? You're angry. So the parents have to learn also to chasten the children because they love them. There's a very, very big difference. Right? Even the Lord told the church in Laodicea, although the Lord says, you don't repent, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. I wouldn't dare say that. Right? But the Lord says, whom I love, I chasten. And he even gives them a reward. You repent and you overcome, I will make you to sit with me on my throne. Isn't that wonderful? So the children will be happy. Oh, okay, I'm going to get a reward if I repent. If I change, there's a reward. This is a wonderful way. This is the way the Lord chastens us. And most of all, you will bear a peaceable fruit of righteousness. What is a fruit? It's out of life, right? It's a fruit of righteousness. That means the Lord will impart life to you. And this is in the Gospel of John, right? It is the eternal life, the manifestation of life. Because even if I'm corrected, but then I do it again. Because my dad cannot add his life into me. He doesn't live in me. But Christ lives in me. The Holy Spirit is in me. So if I receive the chastening of the Lord, that life will begin to work in me. It is not just me changing, or I'm not doing it okay, because my dad will get angry, right? So maybe next time if I do it, I'll not do it when he's there. But the goal is to be a partaker of his holiness. And that is the divine nature of God. His holiness is added into me, into you. Right? Even in our age, I still need his life to continue supplying my daily living. I don't want just to know, okay, Lord, I'm sorry. I did something wrong. But then I do it again tomorrow. I do it again next week. Because then I'm just corrected. But God's correction is to transform us by his life. Then you gain Christ. This is the whole goal, is to gain the Lord. Because if you don't gain that life within you, there will be no transformation. Okay, maybe you're a better person now. You learned, okay, next time your dad says something, you say, okay, amen, amen. Right? But nothing added into your being. The goal is to be a partaker of his holiness. This is his divine nature. It's not just he's going to be a better person, but praise the Lord, we will be more and more like Christ. The transformation is to make us change into his likeness. And nothing can change me and you and all of us without his life, his supply of life increasing in us. And that is the wonderful goal. We grow, then the children physically as a human being grows into a better person. But God doesn't want us just to be a better person. He wants us to be like Christ. Right? To be perfected in biblical sense is to transform us into the glorious image of Christ. That we will be conformed to the image of Christ. And this process will go on as long as you're still alive on this earth. Nobody can say, okay, I've already been perfected. Even Paul, writing the book of Philippians, said in chapter 3 of Philippians, not that I have already attained. When I was much younger reading the Bible, I said, come on, Paul. You are so qualified to write the book of Ephesians, and there you're telling me you haven't attained yet? Then if you haven't attained, how am I going to attain? How can I make it? Well, Paul says, but I pursue, I press toward the goal. I'm still running the race. I haven't gotten the goal yet. If the goal is not in your hand, you haven't attained yet. But if you got a gold medal, then you have attained. At the very end, Paul says, I have reached the goal. I have run the race. I have fought a good fight. Now a crown is there for me waiting. So let's all go on.
Yes.
Not just the children need a chastening. Grandpa needs the chastening. Maybe more than you, Isaiah. Right. More than you. The more we grow, the more we need the chastening of the Lord. Right. And this is important. And this is the love of God for all of us. Don't think we're already a Christian for many years. We don't need chastening. Like I said, the more you know the Lord and experience Him, the more you realize you don't know yet. And this is a wonderful relationship of love. Of love. If you love your parents, you receive His chastening more readily. So praise God.
Amen,
amen for His wonderful love for all of us,
amen.
Young and old, okay?
Amen.
We're the grandpas and grandmas. We also need the chastening that we may be fully perfected. Right? Praise God.
Amen.